The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. Dr. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper with you today, and we're hoping you're having a good Wednesday. And we're looking forward to this. This is an important day in the church in America. It is a day that we celebrate what God's done, Operation Christmas Child. It's collection week, and many, many churches are involved in it. Matter of fact, I haven't been in any churches in the last few years that was not involved in Operation Christmas Child. And Alex, it is a great tradition for individuals, families, and churches to participate in Operation Christmas Child, isn't it?
Amen. It is so special to a lot of people. You know, a couple of days ago, I was in Sacramento, California, in a Russian church. They were geared up for OCC. I'm in Ohio in a Friends church. They're doing Operation Christmas Child. It really has become so special to so many people.
Well, we have a guest with us today that is going to share with us from a firsthand experience about what it's like to receive one of those shoeboxes, but also to tell us more about it and what happens. Our guest today is Isabella McMillan. Isabella, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you, and we praise the Lord for you taking time to share with us and our audience. And I guarantee you, people that listen to this program, Exploring the Word, they are people who love the Word of God and love our Lord. And that sounds like we have something in common with Operation Christmas Child, doesn't it?
That's right. Operation Christmas Child is absolutely loves the Word and wants to proclaim God's Word to millions of children around the world. And I was one of those children. And I am so excited to be particularly on this show with you guys because God's Word had a big part in my life. I grew up in communist Romania, but we were not allowed to have Bibles. We were not allowed to worship. We were not even allowed to say the name of God out loud. Mm-hmm. However, when I was 7 years old, my brother and I, by accident, found a hidden Bible in the floorboard of our home. And that is how we started learning about God's Word. And God's Word started to penetrate our hearts without anybody being able to teach it to us. And that's how God started working on me. And then I started going to a little underground church when I was 11 years old, and that's where I realized that churches teach the same book that we found at home. And I was so excited about God's Word. And I know that so many of us tend to take it for granted that we have God's Word at our fingertips. But I do remember those days just how excited we were to run home from school to get everything done that we had to do so we can get to this little book hidden in the floorboard of our house. And I want to encourage the listeners today to not take God's Word for granted, but truly to rely on it because it's true and living and alive and well and changes lives.
Amen. Amen. Alex, isn't that a great testimony, brother?
That's a wonderful testimony. Let me ask you, this year, all the shoeboxes, Operation Christmas Child, the very famous green and red shoeboxes, how many countries will they be going to?
So we will be going in over 100 different countries, and in the last 20-some years, since 1993, over 146 million of these shoeboxes went into over 100 different countries.
Amen. And Isabella, in Romania, I love Romania. One of my heroes is from Romania, Joseph Son. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he was exiled, and he came to America, and communist Romania at that time, and I we're talking about Operation Christmas Child, but I can't help but say a word about Romania. When the Iron Curtain fell, Romania's their failure of the government there had so much to do with the prayers of God's people, where God had done such a great spiritual work in Romania that they were ready for that, and religious freedom and mission work would just open up into Romania, would it not?
That's right. And, you know, right after the Iron Curtain fell, that's actually when I received my Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift. That is when the borders opened and this ministry was able to go into Romania and start giving out these beautiful little colorful boxes. And I still remember, for us, it was like a splash of color entering our little black and white life. I have never seen that much color in my life. And it was just so exciting for us to know that people, God's people out there, think about us and we are loved and not forgotten.
Amen. Go ahead, Alex.
Let me ask you this. If people have not packed a shoebox yet, is there still time to do it?
Absolutely. It is never too late to pack a shoebox. And especially this week, right now is when we want to roll up our sleeves and pack many, many more shoeboxes. This is National Collection Week, started on Monday. So this is day 3 of National Collection Week. And our last day will be November 20th. When you can drop off until then your shoeboxes anywhere in your area, you can go to our website, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, and there's a little fun zip code locator. You put in a zip code, and you can find the closest churches in your area that collect shoeboxes. And just stop by there and drop off your boxes. There will be some nice volunteers there who would pray for you, who would just welcome you, and you can find a lot more information about Operation Christmas Child and Samaritan's Purse.
And this year, there was a little restriction, toothpaste and candy.
They were
asked not to pack those, and that was different. But yet, there's so much still available to put in one, and you'll find that on the website. If you don't know how to pack one, they give you some gifts in which you can purchase, do they not?
That's right. Toothpaste and candy is not allowed this year, and that's simply because of custom regulations. As we go into so many different countries, these items have expiration dates, so it is so much more important to us to make sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ gets to these children than to get toothpaste and candy to them. So that's the way we look at it. You know, we want to make sure that the gospel is going to be proclaimed. However, if people out there who are listening are going to miss National Collection Week for some reason, they are not able to pack their shoeboxes by next Monday when National Collection Week ends, another great way to pack shoeboxes is to go online. Online at SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, people actually can pack a shoebox online. And it's a fun way to do it, for especially for those who maybe don't like to go shopping.
Hey, we're getting a lot more today. This online shopping has gone wild. So Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, you're staying up with it, aren't you?
That's right. We are going to stay up with the times and make sure that those people who don't like to go out there and fight the crowds, they can pack a box online. And it is just a beautiful way to give to the ministry for those who maybe even can't get out.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, hi, Alex McFarland here. You know, the countries that they send to, are there some of the Islamic countries as well that get the shoeboxes and get the gospel?
We do have some countries that we call restricted countries that we are doing some work in, and we want to reach, just like Jesus commanded in Matthew 28, we want to go to the very far ends of the earth with the gospel, and that is our mission. So we do our very best to go in all areas of the world. We cannot specifically name the countries that we're working in that are sensitive. However, we do have so many volunteers who are willing to risk and do whatever it takes to make sure that the gospel is being proclaimed in all parts of the world.
Isabella, those that go to countries where it's no issue, I understand you can track your box. Is that right, about which country it goes to?
That is correct, and that is my favorite thing, honestly, about Operation Christmas Child, because today I get to be on the giving end of these boxes, and I get to pack shoeboxes with my family and with my children. So we can go online, and you can actually pay for the shipping cost of your shoeboxes online, which is $9 per box. And when you do that, you get a shipping label that has a QR code that will track your box into the country that it's going into. And then you will receive an email from Samaritan's Purse letting you know where your shoeboxes ended up. And what we love to do at home with my family, we have a big map where we put little dots on the map every year where our shoeboxes went. And we keep that in front of our eyes all year long so that we remember to pray specifically for those countries where our shoeboxes went and for those children, for those churches that are going to be embracing these children and inviting them to a discipleship program, all the work that gets involved with that.
One last thing that I want to make sure and do. We may have had someone that has tuned in a little later, rather than hearing your experience as a child receiving a shoebox, I just don't want to take any chance that somebody missed that and now they've tuned in. And we're talking to Isabella McMillan, and she's with Samaritan's Purse, and she's a spokesperson, but she's also a shoebox recipient, and that was in Romania. Again, Isabella, just tell us once again the joy of a child receiving such a shoebox.
Well, when I was 13 years old, when I received my shoebox gift in post-communist Romania, and I just remember what an excitement that was for us, knowing that we are receiving a gift with no strings attached. It was simply given to us freely, just like God's grace is being offered to all of us. And for me, my shoebox gift was a very specific answer to prayer, as I have been praying for snow for over 3 months when I received that box. And in that little shoebox, tucked in the corner of it, was a beautiful little blue and silver snow globe, and God answered my prayer that way. And we cannot put snow globes in the shoeboxes anymore because they're breakable and they have liquids. But I have learned that God can take the most ordinary, simple thing and answer children's prayers all around the world through the simple shoeboxes that Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child is giving out in over 100 different countries.
Amen. Go ahead, Alex.
That is so powerful. That is so powerful how God answered your prayer for snow.
Amen.
And so let me ask this. From when it began to now, I mean, how many shoeboxes? Tell us, if you can, what year did all this begin? How big was it back then? And how extensive and how many shoeboxes are there here in 2017?
Well, in 1993, when Operation Christmas Child started, 28,000 shoeboxes were packed that very first year. And just to give you a little bit of an idea how much this ministry has grown, since then, since 1993, 146 million shoeboxes have been distributed. And this year, our goal is 9.6 million shoeboxes to be packed here in the U.S. alone. And worldwide collection goal in 2017 is 12 million shoeboxes. And so many of the listeners might be sitting there thinking, wow, 146 million shoeboxes, we probably had enough. We probably can go ahead and start thinking about other ministries. But let me tell you that just today in Africa alone, there are 435 million kids under the age of 14 that are eligible to receive shoeboxes. And if every single person in the U.S., 322 million people packed a gift gold shoebox, Operation Christmas Child still wouldn't be able to reach all the boys and girls just in Africa. So while you hear this beautiful big number of 146 million, please know that we are just scratching the surface. It's only a drop in the ocean, and there's many, many more children that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ
and
through
every,
the shoeboxes.
And every one of those shoeboxes contain the message and the hope that's in Jesus Christ through the gospel. Isabella,
yes,
thank you for being with us today. It's been a
treat
to have you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your support of this ministry and your vision of knowing that this ministry truly is reaching children for the gospel. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Isabella McMillan. She is with Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child. She's not only a spokesperson, but she is a recipient in Romania. Alex, I just say praise the Lord for a great ministry.
Amen. Praise God for that. And what a unique, creative ministry. I mean, it really is creative.
Amen.
Do you keep track of the offenses people inflict upon you? Jesus said that we're to forgive 70 times 7, 490 times. Does that mean we're to keep track of the offenses people inflict upon us and on the 491st time we can seek revenge? No one may hurt you 490 times, but the reality is we may think about it 490 times. Forgiveness is not a one-time act. It's choosing to forgive the person that hurt you every time you think about it. People say to forgive and forget. The reality is it's not possible to forget some of the horrific things that have happened to us. In fact, we don't really have the capacity to choose to forget. We can, however, live as if it's forgotten. Forgiveness is a choice that must be made time and time again, maybe even 490 times a day. As you cry out to God today, would you choose to thank Him for the people that have been the tools of hurt in your life? I'm Steve Canfield. revivalist at lifeactionministries for onecry.com.
Many Christians settle for just praying to God. But Dr. Tony Evans says there's a kind of relational connection that can make it more like praying with God. He'll explain the difference today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
If you are not close to God, you won't hear the will of God applied to you. You'll be like Ahab. What you talking about? Because you don't hear anything. We want to hear from God while keeping our distance from God. When you drive your car a long way away, you're going to lose clarity of hearing in the radio station you're listening to. The further you go, the more static the station will become until the station disappears altogether because your distance is too far to pick up the station. But when you come back, you're going to be able to hear because you're getting closer to the signal. That's why prayer is relational communication with God, not ritual communication with God. Ritual communication is I'm praying because I'm supposed to. No, this must be relational prayer because I have made God my only God, no more idols. I have drawn close to Him, so His Holy Spirit is able to speak to my human spirit about the application of the scripture which is written in the Word of God. So if you want to experience supernatural power in prayer, the proximity must be close. It cannot be far away, so you can hear the sound of the particular application of scripture in your personal experience.
If you've never experienced what it's like to have that relational connection with God through Christ, visit us at tonyevans.org and click on the word Jesus at the top of the page. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
What will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can see through the fire.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, and we appreciate you listening. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Isabella with Samaritan's Purse of Operation Christmas Child, and we hope that you will respond accordingly. Well, Alex, we're going through the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're at chapter 9, which is a great, great chapter and one of the greatest verses. Well, I say that just about in every chapter that we've gone through. I say, well, one of the best verses, and we have one now, or really two or three, and let me read verses 6 and 7. It's right in the middle, but then we'll go back and look at the rest of it. But right in the middle, verses 6 and 7 of 2 Corinthians 9 says, "This I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, are of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." This is called grace given. I mean, we have received grace, so we should give grace in every way. And one of the ways that we have grace is through our giving. And he's reminding the church at Corinth of their responsibility, but more than their responsibility, I would say their joy in giving. This is a great chapter and a great reminder, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And let's remember, Paul's raising money for the needy saints in Jerusalem, really. And he had talked to the Corinthian believers about this and taking up, you know, an offering for them. And he wrote about this in 2 Corinthians 8. In 1 Corinthians 16, he had mentioned, you know, concerning the collection for the saints. And he says, you know, let every one of you lay something aside on the first day of the week that they're not be a need for a collection when I come. So when he opens chapter 9 here and he says, there's no need for me to write to you about this service for the saints, part of the no need, two things. One, he had addressed it before, and as we said in yesterday, how he really bragged on them, and maybe it was he was saying nice things about them, assuming that they would rise to the level of his confidence in them. But he was basically saying, look, we've addressed this before, and I know you're going to do the right thing. So one translation says, it is superfluous for me to write to you because I know your willingness. He just assumed that his parishioners were going to do the right thing.
He did. And what it also gives a time frame on this Corinthian correspondence. Listen to verse 2 after he said, I know you're of your willingness, about which I boast to you, to the Macedonians.
Said,
yeah, I encourage them to give because you were given. Now, I don't think it was competitive, but it was encouragement. It's encouraging. When I heard about Isabella and her receiving that shoebox and people giving, it encourages me to be a part of that. But here it says that Achaia was ready a year ago.
Yeah.
So this lets us in a little bit on this time frame that Paul is using in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And so he says, your zeal has stirred up the majority. When I've told them about you and your willingness to give and the promise you made, then they were. And then he proceeds and, you know, I think he got word from Titus that maybe they had not met their goal or their promise.
That's right.
Do you think that's part of what he's saying here?
So let me just say, folks, Paul had his own share-a-thons. Again, we've said it, the gospel is free, but it takes resources to deliver that message. Now, you know, Macedonia was to the north, if I recall, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And when he said to the Macedonians, okay, it wasn't just Macedonia Baptist Church. I mean, there were churches in Philippi, Berea, Thessalonica. So in a way, I tend to think Paul was just a very masterful, brilliant strategist, because it's like, oh, now we've got to give. He's already bragged to all these different people about us, and apparently our obedience has been an inspiration to other people. So in a way, how could the people not rise to the challenge? I mean, God commands us to give. God is the owner. The Jerusalem saints had need. The Apostle Paul is loving on us, bragging on us. Apparently, we've got a reputation now of being a place where the Spirit of the Lord freely moves. I mean, for a lot of reasons, the Corinthians would have had incentive to do as Paul had asked them.
He did. And notice what he says. I don't want you to be ashamed. I'm confident you won't, because the brethren is coming. It sounds like to take this offering that they're receiving all in this area, they're receiving offering from the churches, to take that to Jerusalem to help the saints that are having difficulty even feeding themselves. And so the brethren is a collection committee that's going through. Paul said, I don't want to do it all by myself. And because he was, you know, he didn't want to have a name of him being the person that takes it all. He shared that responsibility. So he says, I'm confident that my boasting will come to be. I've been boasting about you, and I'm confident you're going to meet that. And they're coming on their way, and you better be ready so you don't have to take up a last-minute offering. It'll be waiting on them when they get there. That's a good advice, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And he says there, you know, don't give grudgingly but generously. And of course, you open with that beautiful passage about whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. It's been preached on a lot, but the Bible has a lot to say about sowing and reaping. And I like in verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, in your heart, I believe the Holy Spirit will lead you on what to give. And we could tell a lot of testimonies about how if you give to God with a spoon, he'll give back with a shovel. And you can't outgive God. When the Lord prompts you to start tithing and then to trust God with more and more of your giving, friend, there's a lot we could say, Bert. I could give great examples in my own life and my own journey. But you give and you obey God in your giving, he will bless you back many times over. I've learned that firsthand.
Amen. I want to put my name on that list as well. Notice a key word that is in 1st and 2nd Corinthians again and again, and that is sufficiency or sufficient. always having all sufficiency in all things. Look at how many times he uses the word all. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance of every good work. Verse 8 tells you, when you give, you'll be blessed in many ways, Alex, not just meeting some financial needs and your needs that you have, but I do believe that it's healthy to be a giver. I believe it helps relationships to be a giver. Because it says, in all things. Now, again, if I understand what that means, it means all things, doesn't it?
It really does, and I think it's good to cultivate in children at a young age an ethic of giving, don't you?
You better believe it. Make sure they go to church,
even
give them that offering so they can give and be participant out of their allowance or their little work that they do. Alex, let them be a participant in the joy of giving. Yes.
Well, it is such a blessing to be able to give because really, everything, I know we've said it many times, time, talent, treasure, testimony, and that's not original with me. Many preachers have preached those four T's, but your time, your abilities, your resources, your influence, time, talent, treasure, testimony, all of those things are given to us, really lent to us from God, and it's His anyway. And he goes and he talks about in verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store and seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, who is it that supplies seed to the sower, bread for food and increase and harvest? It's God. Amen. God is the Lord of the harvest, isn't he?
He is. And David recognized that even in the Old Testament. I've been young and now I'm old, and I have not seen God's righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And I just want to share with you, God does testify that. He finished, matter of fact, some of the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, what you shall eat, what you shall wear, all of that will be given unto you. So get your priorities straight. So much depends, and again, we're just talking about giving, and it's grace giving. Go back to those words, not grudgingly nor of necessity, but it's of grace. We have received grace, and that should permeate every part of our life when it comes to forgiveness, when it comes to sharing with others, giving of your resources. Grace, God's grace does not skip anything or any area in your life, does it?
No, it really doesn't. When your whole life is yielded to him and you see his hand just in what we might call the little things, although they're not really little things, but in our financial blessings and our health, God gives us good health, things go well. Listen, it's been said many times in a lot of different areas, to have the favor of God, to let God blow some wind in your sails, as it were.
Yes.
He knows he's got your heart. And I'll just say it this way, Bert. I think God watches to see what he can trust us with, don't you?
He does. And notice what he does when he gets here in verses 11 and following.
Right.
Thanksgiving. Now, it's more blessed to give than to receive, but those who receive are filled with thanksgiving. And usually it comes back, Alex. Thanksgiving comes back. It's something you give out. Having a thankful heart. I go back to Romans, and the road to being a reprobate starts with being unthankful. If you want to look at that, Romans,
I completely agree.
It really does. If you want to improve your life, I don't care where you are right now in the hospital. You may be incarcerated. You may have been, you just lost your job. You may be just barely making it, as they say here, barely got your nose above the water so you can breathe. I want to tell you, one of the things you do is two things, is thanksgiving and giving. And the church at Corinth and Macedonia gave out of their poverty. The widow gave her mites. There's something about thanksgiving and giving that move the heart of God, Alex.
Well, that's right. And you know, here's the thing. Gratitude means so much. Gratitude really, really means so much. And it talks about having all sufficiency in all things. That's verse 8. The word for sufficiency there is really the word contentment. And, you know, on down here in verse 11, it says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Now, Bert, I've known a lot of people who weren't wealthy, but they were rich.
Amen.
And there's a difference.
Yeah.
From a monetary standpoint, you might not consider yourself wealthy. But when you've got the Holy Spirit of God, and you may be wealthy, and maybe God has blessed you. And I've known people that weren't wealthy financially, but God did prosper them. But it starts with the heart. And the contentment and the gratitude for life, for mobility, for your situation. Because here's the thing. We don't get to pick the times in which we were born. We really don't get to pick the assignments of life. But while these might be hard days from a certain perspective, these are the days we've been given.
Amen.
And apparently God believes that He is enough for us in these days. And of course we know He is. And Bert, I would encourage anybody out there who's feeling depressed or down or overwhelmed and just life is just too much. I was counseling a family earlier today, and they've got a family member who really ought to be grateful and just has taken to their bed, can't get out of bed, too depressed. Start with gratitude. Begin to delineate and list in your mind the things that you're thankful for.
Amen.
And you build up that list of stuff you're thankful for, you're going to have the oomph to get out of bed. I really believe it.
Let me read verses 13 through 15 as we come into the close, especially this last verse, but let me read it. Through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them all and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Now, he's talking about those people are going to be filled with thankfulness, and they're in turn are going to pray for you. Are they going to bless you? I mean, that's what it is. But then after he gets through with this, the exceeding grace of God in you, he can't go any further without saying, and by the way, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Alex, his salvation through Jesus Christ, how do you describe it? It's indescribable, isn't it?
That's right. You know, What is the indescribable gift here in verse 15? Well, most people say salvation, and that's true. But really, it's Jesus.
It's Jesus. The gospel,
I mean, the fact
of
that
Jesus Christ. He is the gift. And that's a good thing during this getting ready for the Christmas season. Operation Christmas Child, we're already getting ready for that. Let me read it again,
yeah,
and just take off and do your best to describe Jesus. Alex, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. But give some descriptive things about Jesus, brother.
Well, as we know, in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Okay, so here we have in Jesus, God who took on a human body, God who left heaven and came to earth, God who fulfilled dozens and dozens of prophecies, God who, though he was a king, was born in a stable. Though he occupied a throne, he was laid in a feed trough. I mean, though he is wrapped in the eternal righteousness of God, he was willing to be nailed to a cross. And he opened his arms in love and says to you, whosoever will may come. He's as close by as a prayer. He's Jesus.
He is completely indescribable. 888-589-8840. Give us a call.
Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Former professional women's basketball player and college basketball star Camille Lenoir thought she landed her dream job as an assistant women's basketball coach at New Mexico State University. That was until she received a call saying the job offer she just accepted was now revoked. Why was the offer revoked? Because Camille was a Christian, and a video surfaced where she renounced her former life of lesbianism. She since sued the university in federal court for religious and heterosexuality discrimination. There isn't much tolerance for Christian former homosexuals.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
It's National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child. AFA Journal editor Randall Murfree was in Ecuador to see children receive shoebox gifts.
It is a remarkable experience just to watch their eyes as they pulled out a little toy or a tablet or some crayons.
Children also hear the gospel.
Through shoebox gifts, Operation Christmas Child provides the opportunity for children to be discipled.
Learn more at SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
God has given each and every Christian a very specific purpose. So how can we discover what it is? And what could Satan be doing right now to try to stop us? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress urges us to pursue our God-given purpose. Join us for a powerful study in the book of Luke, chapter 4, all this week on Pathway to Victory.
Pathway to Victory, each weekday morning at 6 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden, Executive Director of the Association of Independent Methodists.
On March 4, 1865, 40 days before his assassination, Abraham Lincoln gave his inaugural address. In it, he said the following concerning the Southern states and their leaders: "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves." May those who benefited the most always remember these words from Abraham Lincoln's presidency.
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit aim2020.com.
Word of God, speak.
Welcome back. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Thank you for being with us today. We're going to go to the phone lines. We got one or two lines that are open, and that number that you can call is 888-589-8840. Alex and I would love to hear from you. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Roxanne. Roxanne, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you very much. I wanted to call in and let you guys know that your words of encouragement, it means so much to me. I listen to AFR all day long, and I've got particular concern for all the children that are going to public schools, and they are under the stress of Common Core and its socialist conformity that it is forcing on our children as we speak every day. And you reminded me that God is in control. Jesus Christ died for our sins. And what little I do, which I go to meetings, councilman meetings, and I call my senators, and Carrie Wright, who's the Mississippi Secretary of Education, I voice my opinion, but you know, I have to give it up to God, because it is in his righteous plan the way things have gone down, and I give it all to him.
Amen, Roxanne. Thank you for listening to all of AFR, and praise the Lord. That Don Wildman would love you, because he started it, activism. They don't, you know, they do not like us to inform about certain things. The world doesn't like us to to equip them, but they hate activism when people go to the Word of God and they find out certain things and they go to the school boards, they go to the council meetings. Alex, praise the Lord. And you want to be equipped. Yes, you want to know the knowledge, but more than that, you want to be equipped in God's Word and a biblical worldview and the Holy Spirit guiding you. That will stead you in a difficult time, won't it, Alex?
It really will. It really will. And, you know, the people that are trying to just change this country and do away with morality and cause this country to be devoid of mentions of God, they don't like it when Christians get socially engaged and politically active, but we really have to do. You know, somebody asked Charles Spurgeon years ago, you know, should we remove religion from politics? And he said, politics, that's exactly where religion needs to be. And I would agree. Obviously, the main point of life is to know the Lord and we're bound for heaven. But as long as we're in this world, we are to be salt and light. And that includes social, moral, political engagement.
It's called the stewardship of our citizenship. Yep. We've been given the citizenship in America, which we participate in. And we want people to be stewards of their talents. We want people to be stewards of their finances. We want people to be stewards of their citizenship. So, Roxanne, thank you. That's a great example. Let's go to stay in Mississippi and go to Frank. Frank, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, I just want to comment on the what y'all was talking about, the giving and everything, how you give to God. It's not always in the financial part that you get blessings, because I'm up in age now, and I raised all my kids, all my children. I raised five children without any of them going to the doctor for major problems or nothing, only because of God. And it's been a blessing, because I give and God gives back to me.
Amen, Frank. I needed to hear that, brother. You have blessed me by calling in and sharing. Alex, you know, we do. We have this idea, okay, we give money, we're going to get money. But that's not what Paul was saying here in 2 Corinthians at all. He said, yeah, you get it, but there are other ways of getting it, and God is the great giver, isn't he?
He really is. Verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 9, you will be made rich in every way.
Amen.
And there, you're right, there's more than money. You know, it's amazing to me how for 240 years, I mean, the nation grew and children were born and kids were raised. And, you know, well, I don't want to get off on too much of a rabbit trail, but we've become a nation that it's almost like kids have to wear a helmet for everything. And I got to tell you, there was a day when we were a pretty strong, strapping, resilient people, and little scrapes on the knee and hangnails didn't cause us to go to the ER. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't avail ourselves to medical care when necessary, but I really think we do need to trust God and to get out there and live and every day embrace life with both arms, knowing that when we're serving Christ and walking with Him, He is our protector, He is our provider, and we don't need the government, we don't need a nanny state to be our babysitter. We are human beings made in God's image, walking with our Creator and Savior every day.
And that was the husband of a nurse telling you that about.
Exactly.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's stay in Mississippi and talk to David. David, welcome.
How you doing, sir?
Doing good.
Hey, sir. There was a well-known pastor in Chicago. I'm not going to say his name, but he was, you know, was against suicide, which is most Christians should be. But one of his family members developed severe schizophrenia and committed suicide. And this, you know, kind of changed his thinking about it. So my question is, you may not know, there may not be an answer on suicide. The people that commit suicide, because the church I go to, they believe if you commit suicide, you automatically go straight to hell. Do you know if this is true, or God takes into consideration the mental state of a person, or what?
Okay, David, thank you for that. We've been asked this before, and we want to share with you, if you're listening today and you are depressed, you're at a point of feeling like giving up, and the key word, Alex, is hopeless. You know, no hope, hopeless. There's hope in Christ Jesus, And suicide is never the answer. It is not the answer for any of that. But yet we know the sin, the great sin, is the sin of unbelief, isn't it?
It is. You know, I'm always hesitant to speak to this issue because sometimes people asking questions about this, you never know, are they contemplating it? And let me say to everyone listening, absolutely, unequivocally, if you're contemplating harming yourself or taking your own life, get help. We would beg of you to do two things. Number one, get a physical and go talk to your medical doctor. And number two, find a good counselor. Suicide is never the answer. And to everyone listening, do not harm yourself. Please, if you're thinking about it, get help, because help is there and there's always, always hope, and there's a better day coming. So, but let me say this. And again, we don't say what we're going to say lightly at all, but the key to going to heaven is to be in Christ, to be born again. And suicide is a sin. Murder is a sin. Self-murder is a sin. But suicide is not the unpardonable sin. The only sin that can put you beyond the reach of God's forgiveness is to leave this world in a state of unbelief. So the question becomes, is it possible for a born-again Christian to get to such a dark place that they would take their own life? I think it is. I think it's tragic. It's terrible. I think there can be a lot of factors involved. Suicide is never, ever, ever right. Suicide is always the wrong option. But while I would never, ever condone it, it doesn't mean that if you took your own life, had you been a born-again Christian, you took your life, that God is going to remove your salvation from you. I don't see that. Do you, Bert?
There's nowhere in Scripture that it describes that and shows that. I just want to say that suicide, what it does to the family who is left, is devastating.
Oh, my word.
I've got emotion in my voice talking about it because of what it does. It's a selfish act beyond measure of what it does to the family. So, David, I don't know all that you're looking for, but the sin of unbelief is the sin that you just don't want to part. If you part with unbelieving in Jesus Christ, there's no hope. And
let me just say this,
there's hope in
too.
Christ, no matter where you are. Let me say this. No matter where you are in your life, in Jesus Christ, He brings salvation, which brings hope. And that is a great commodity, isn't it?
Absolutely. Life itself is a proposition for the energetic, rigorous sort. I mean, just living life is an adventure, I'll guarantee. But friend, if you opened up your eyes this morning, then at least God's vote for you is, hey, let's keep on keeping on.
Amen. Amen.
You know?
Yes, it is. And so thank you for calling. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Mackenzie. Mackenzie, welcome.
Hi, yes. I just want to let y'all know that I appreciate y'all's work that y'all do on the radio. I listen to y'all on my way from work. I just had something to say. There was a previous caller about the Common Core, and I just wanted to ask y'all to put out there that, you know, our teachers work really hard in the community, and if they could just pray for the teachers, they need that extra spiritual strength right now, because there are so many people that come at them with negativity and complaints. They just need that extra strength, because it's hard to try to teach these kids and meet
Amen.
The state standards.
It
can be very
Amen.
Down on them.
We're going to pray right now. Matter of fact, I just, a little point, personal privilege. My daughter-in-law is a public school teacher, and I just thank God for her, and I know what she brings to those kids every day. And we just, here in our area in Northeast Mississippi, we're blessed beyond measure. Yes, there's limitations, and there's things that are not as well, but we do want to pray for our public school teachers, many of them, and the parents that are on the front lines, Alex. And yes, we got Christian schools. Praise God for them. We got homeschoolers. Praise God for them. and how a parent chooses to school their children. That's their choice. I don't want the government telling them how to do it or when to do it, where to do it. But we are responsible to pray for those in our leadership, and teachers are a place of leadership, aren't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. I do hope you're praying for teachers, because there are, in the public school, there are a lot of Christian people in the public school classrooms, and they are valiantly standing for Christ and influencing young lives, oftentimes, you know, frankly, at great personal cost, and very often making way less money than they could have made in the private sector.
You got that so right.
Pray, but be involved. Parents and adult leaders in the local school and in the school board, you can be involved, and our voices can be heard, and we should take the initiative to make them heard.
And do it with kindness.
Yes.
We hear folks, you know, nice and kind. I understand there's a time for anger, there's a time, but God says be kind one to another. That's a pretty big command, and so try to do it with kindness but straightforwardness. You can combine those two things.
You can win more flies with honey.
Yeah, you can be strong and courageous and kind together. And that's the Holy Spirit in us. We're going to pray. I just feel late. I know we got three other people, and we're not going to be able to get to you today. Thank you for your calling. But I just feel compelled to pray, Alex, right now. So would you mind praying? And if we have time, I'll pray as well. But pray especially for the country, but especially our school teachers, because and our students and our parents, because that was kind of where the program went today in two or three ways. Would you do that?
Yes, let's do that. Dear Lord, we lift up our schools to you. And Lord, especially up in Northern California where the shooter just was, Lord, we pray for, number one, your protection of our school campuses. Lord, your presence in our school classrooms. And Lord, many students go to public schools and are homeschooled and go to Christian schools. And there are good schools, and there are a lot of your people in the classrooms, even in public school administration. And so I pray, whether it's Christian school, homeschool, charter school, public school, Lord, that the K through 12, the elementary, middle, and high schools would be full of your presence. Lord, give people a heart for truth. Let our teachers be courageous to speak truth about our history, about you, dear Lord. As Christmas comes, I pray people would not even talk about the holidays or the season, quote unquote. They would talk about Christ and Christmas, and that they would use the word Christmas this year in our public school classrooms. And so, Lord, may your Holy Spirit be in our classrooms. Let them be a place of safety, a place of learning, a place of truth, and a place of godliness. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, I want to add to this prayer of your grace, of your power in the lives of our teachers. May those that are followers of you, and I know many, many, many of them. I've been their pastor, and I've worked with them, and I know their heart for you and the difference that they are making in the lives of boys and girls. Coaches that really have so much tremendous, godly coaches that Amen. Have so much power in exemplifying the faith that's in real in Christ. So, Father, I pray you'd be of them, be of those students. May they look unto you. Those that are godly students, may they stay strong, and may they be able to spit out the briars when it's false. And, Father, I pray that the church would equip them, the youth ministers, the pastors, the Sunday school teachers, the small group leaders, that they would prepare them to know the truth. And Father, we thank you for this, and we believe it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Alex, been good to be with you, brother, as always.
Been good to be with you, Bert, and everyone listening. We surely do appreciate it. God bless you, and we hope you'll be with us again tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.